You're listening to a podcast from Cancer.net, the cancer information website of the American Society of Clinical Oncology, known as ASCO. ASCO is the world's leading professional organization for doctors that care for people with cancer. In today's podcast, Cancer.net speaks with U.S. Olympic swimmer Eric Shanto about his experience with testicular cancer. Eric was diagnosed in June 2008 as he prepared for the Beijing Summer Olympics. He is now a cancer awareness spokesperson about the disease, and ASCO thanks him for taking the time to speak with us. Can you briefly describe the story of your testicular cancer diagnosis and treatment?
Yeah, I can definitely describe the story of my testicular cancer and diagnosis. Doing it briefly is kind of a hard thing, actually. I was diagnosed last June, just before the Olympic trials for swimming. And wouldn't have kind of been, you know, too big of a deal, except that the Olympic trials for swimming is sort of the biggest thing in an American swimmer's career. And I'd been trying to make an Olympic team for years and years, basically. This was my third Olympic trials. I started going to them in 2000. And I had just missed it in 2004, so 2008 was really looking to be my breakthrough year and put myself on the Olympic team. And I was in a great shot heading into, or a great position, rather, heading into Olympic trials to make the team and really have a big summer last summer. And I actually was diagnosed exactly a week before I left for trials. So it was sort of a big bump in the road before the biggest meet of my life. And that's sort of where my whole story comes about is my going to trials and actually making the team, and then having to go on and make the decision to delay treatment and stay on the Olympic team and then compete at the games. So I guess that's kind of a brief version of it, and again, it's something that I guess took a lot to do last summer, because it was kind of a roller coaster of a ride. You know, it's on the same one level I was swimming at the highest level I'd ever been at, but on the other level I was having to deal with something like cancer. So it was kind of a crazy ride last summer, and I'm kind of glad it's over with.
What support or advice did you rely on to help you navigate your diagnosis and treatment?
Well, as I was saying before, it was kind of a crazy ride last summer, and I obviously had a lot of advice and a lot of support in dealing with my situation and kind of helping me make decisions. And, you know, that obviously came from family and friends, coaches and teammates, but I think, related to my medical situation, obviously the army of doctors I had assembled really, really helped out. They were great, and I had, doctors here in Austin. Obviously, the man who diagnosed me stayed on board and helped me out a lot from day one. And Dr. Larry Einhorn up in Indianapolis, I talked to him probably 4 or 5 hours after I was diagnosed. He already knew my situation and had called me and was great in really putting things in black and white terms. In a world that's kind of gray when it comes to cancer. So he really helped out a lot, especially in kind of helping me weigh my options and delaying treatment and things like that. So, it was one decision for my doctors to get me through Olympic trials. That was a decision to put off treatment for about 3 weeks. And so that was kind of our first step in navigating through this whole process. And I did end up making the Olympic team, so then we kind of were faced with a bigger and harder bridge to cross. So after trials is really when I had to sit down with my doctors and really kind of weigh the options, really understand what I was risking if I did choose to put off treatment for another basically 6 or 7 weeks. And they were great. They were great about really telling it like it was and making me understand and realize all my options and weigh all my options. So, I can't thank them enough for standing in my corner, because I know medically I didn't necessarily make the make the decision that doctors give you, but again, they supported me the whole way.
Testicular cancer can be an uncomfortable subject for men. What misperceptions or challenges do you sense as you talk publicly about your experience?
Well, the thing about testicular cancer is, most people would rather go to the dentist than even say the word. I think in the past year with all the speaking that I've been doing and the groups that I've been seeing, I think, honestly, just the stigma that surrounds it is the hardest part that we have to overcome. And, you know, most people are uncomfortable as it is talking about cancer because, you know, when you say that word, all the worst things come to mind. Pain, suffering, death, and just all these terrible things. And then when you add the word testicular in front of it, people just cringe, you know? And I think that's a major misperception, especially in the fight against cancer, because people have such a negative outlook on it, and it is. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible disease, but it's also a disease that is very curable. And it's curable because we have, you know, it's something that you can catch early, and it's something that we can take care of from an early stage. And I think that's one of the hardest things to overcome is getting men to the doctor when they find something and not having them wait a year, 6 months, a year and a half, 2 years, however long it is, to put things off and just ignore them. Because I know there's a lot of men who have done that and have, you know, basically gone through a lot more treatment than they would have needed. Back on my situation, I was able to delay treatment because I was getting tested every week. And we knew that my cancer wasn't progressing and wasn't developing in that 6 or 7 weeks that I chose to delay treatment. But, you know, where I waited 6 or 7 weeks, as I said, there are some people who wait 6 or 7 months or even longer than that. And that's something that we as cancer survivors and advocates, cancer awareness advocates, just, you know, that's the hardest thing that we have to overcome is just that awareness and getting men to the doctor when they find a problem. So, you know, like I said before, cancer is a hard thing to talk about, and when you add the word testicular in front of it, it gets even worse, but it's just one of those stigmas that we have to overcome, and you know, that's, I think, the role that I've kind of gotten myself into this past year, and that's what I'm trying to do, is just make people more aware of themselves and make them aware that, just because they find something that they shouldn't be there doesn't mean that their life is over.
What is your first piece of advice for men newly diagnosed with testicular cancer?
So my first piece of advice for men who are just diagnosed with testicular cancer is to find a way to take back control. I think being diagnosed with cancer is, in a very broad sense, a loss of control. I know that was what I experienced when I sat in the doctor's office and had him tell me that that I had testicular cancer. And I know that because being a professional athlete at the level I am, I'm kind of a control freak. I have control over everything in my life. You know, I control how I train, how I eat, how I perform, where I train, who's my coach. I mean, the list goes on and on. My whole career, I have control over it. And, you know, swimming is a very personal sport, so you need to have control. And when you sit in a doctor's office, like I said, all that control gets ripped away from you when they tell you you've got something like testicular cancer. You know, they're immediately coming up with this battle plan to essentially save your life. They're telling you what you need to do. And, you know, it's very easy to lose that control. But I think that, as I said, the biggest piece of advice is to just take that control back. The doctors are there for you, and they want to do what's best for you. But I think men have to realize that they're still in a position to, you know, decide how many different opinions they're going to get. They can decide where they're going to get treated. There's still a lot of things that you can control, and I think that'll help a lot for someone who's just diagnosed.
What are some of your future plans, both in and out of the pool?
Well, my future plans, first of all, in the pool, right now I'm taking it year by year. You know, I haven't necessarily committed myself to the next Olympics in London, but you know, at the same time, after having the summer I just had, and breaking the records I did, and establishing myself in the position I have, you know, I kind of can't see not continuing to swim. So, you know, I'm about to be 26 years old, and that's not exactly young for a swimmer. But like I said, at the same time, I've definitely put myself in a great position for the next year and the next 3 years. So, you know, right now, as far as the pool is concerned, I'm just taking a break, and you know, I'll come back here in the next couple of weeks and sit down with my coach and figure out a training regimen and a training plan for the next year. And you know, I think that's what I'll do up until the Olympics, assuming all keeps going well, and just kind of, you know, just take it step by step. I don't want to look any farther than the next year. So that's, you know, that's swimming wise. And out of the pool, obviously I've become sort of, I guess, a cancer awareness advocate and kind of a public figure in that sense. So I've definitely embraced that role. I'm very proud and very honored to have that role. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of work with the Lance Armstrong Foundation, and I've kind of jumped on board Lance's Army and have been working a lot with those guys. And so, you know, out of the pool, there's a lot of new opportunities that I've kind of been exploring and a whole new world that I've been kind of throwing myself into. And I've really enjoyed it. You know, I've really enjoyed the places I've gotten to go and the groups of people I've gotten to meet because I'm a cancer survivor. So, you know, that's also one of those things, as I was touching on earlier. It's, cancer is a terrible thing, but, you know, it's also opened up a whole new life and a lot of new doors for me that I probably never would have had. So, you know, on some sense, it's kind of been a very cool thing to experience. So, you know, out of the pool, it's a whole new world that I've gotten to experience now.
Thank you for sharing your story, Eric. You can receive more information about testicular cancer by visiting www.cancer.net or talking with your doctor. Thank you for listening to this Cancer.net podcast.